Jesus. Father, we just worship you. You are our only reality. You are our only truth. We speak that truth in the light of Jesus Christ this morning. We give you praise, glory, the honor that you deserve. We thank you that we've been counted worthy. We have been counted worthy. Father, in all these things, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Every service, Lord, is prophetic. Every service, we must find the way into you, and you are that way. Every service, we must depend upon the openness of the heaven that you've given us always. Father, the wicked one comes to throw rocks and stones into our well, sticks, clouded imaginations, fearfulness, contemplations concerning ourselves and our brethren, and concerns for the hour. Our bodies talk to us, our minds conversate, but we lift up our voice unto the throne of God. Yes. We are made in his image.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we are spirit. We are made in spirit and we are made in truth. Therefore, we lay down all earthly robes. We humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us. Let this be the due season that you exalt us, Lord. No man in here knows anything except that which you have given him to know concerning you. Your word is truth. Lord, I know nothing of myself. But Father, I know all that is given to me through Jesus Christ. Lead us into this hour. Guide us into these moments. Not only is Immokalee saved, but this region is saved. This region is under an outpouring of revival and atmosphere and restoration. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, it is our solemn and great privilege to worship you in this hour. Against all obstacles, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. And we rejoice with inside of ourselves, not with will worship, not with the press of the flesh, but Lord, that which you have matured us as sons and daughters of God to stand in your presence and call upon you in this hour. We bless you, Jesus. Now let mighty signs and wonders unfold in this hour. Let the power of God be seen from heaven and change us in this hour from glory to glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, to all invading spirits, to all doctrines of devils, to all foolishness, to everything that could invade and bring forth a pretense, it is given unto us by the authority of the risen Lamb to speak unto you. You not only have no authority in this house, nor in this region, nor in this place. Our authority extends through his blood into all the earth, by the power of the risen Lamb. This garden is his garden. We refuse you in the name of Jesus, and we stand by the power of the risen Savior. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Let's just bless it. Just continue to bless him. He loves our blessings. He loves our worship this morning. We just worship you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We praise and glorify you. All the glory, all the praise. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus. You've made us
move. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We're so glad. we're so glad we can
Hallelujah,
worship you
Jesus.
Freely in this place.
We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you,
so
Jesus.
Grateful, Father.
Hallelujah,
we
Jesus.
We can call you Daddy.
Bless you, Jesus.
We are your little boys and your little girls, Daddy. We just want to love on you and tell you how grateful we are, Father.
We exalt you, Jesus.
Thank you for your love most of all, Lord God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
For your desire for us.
Worship you, Jesus.
Because you want us close
Worship
to you.
You, Jesus.
You're drawing us closer and closer.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We desire you more.
Just continue to magnify him.
We bless your name.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you.
Hallelujah. You're our
Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to get a word from the Lord. Just stand in his presence and receive. We worship you, Jesus. Just stand in his presence and receive. His anointing breaks the yoke.
Hallelujah.
His glory is in his presence. We worship you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Just relax. Let him do it. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Glory and honor. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You are our joy and our delight, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. For all things are possible to him that believes. Have I not said that all things are possible to him that believes? Again, all things are possible. Where does that belief come from? You must lean on me. Take me for my word. Truth. Truth. All truth comes from my word. Worship me for those things that I promised to you. To bring you forth. Set in front of you the promise of truth in your heart and in your mind. Magnify me, for I'm more than able to bring you forth in this day. I'm more than able to bring you forth in this hour. Bring forth the sacrifice of praise. Magnify me with everything that is in you. Lay down every idol. Everything that raises up as a question or a thought. Set underfoot those things. Let me be magnified for who I am, for all things are possible to them that believe, saith the Spirit of grace. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we just welcome you this morning and we just praise the Lord. for what he's doing this morning and for what he's going to do. And so we're in a process. We're in a place of change. We're changing from glory to glory. I can describe to you, although we don't always portray it, but I can describe to you what our future looks like to some degree. Complete God takeovers. Complete God takeovers to where the saturation of His glory is in every service to the extent that we have no breaks per se. A lot of times we break and give each other a great big hug, and that is so apropos. It's perfect. Your family. But what if you missed the break because you were so fat and saturated in glory that you couldn't even move because you couldn't speak? And God was resounding in your spirit. Waves of His glory was coming over you and over you and over you, washing out fears, washing out inhibitions, washing out. That is the glory that we're seeking. We're seeking Him. We're not seeking His hand. We're seeking His face. The Shulamite bride looked over at the lattice. She looked over at the door, which is the bride of Christ. And Solomon wrote, and this is Jesus, He put His hand through the lattice, some interpretations might say, or it's the keyhole. It had just enough space for a hand to fit through there, and they could reach and unlock the door. There was privacy, but it took effort to reach inside there. When she saw, she was in the bedroom, she was in the place of intimacy. When she saw the hand of her lover, she jumped up off the bed, or she was ready to receive him, and he disappeared. He did not open the door. He did not come in. And as a result, she left. She left the room. She left the palace. She left the place. And she began to search for him throughout the city. Now, this is a picture to us. God's just not laying around on top. You don't find the gems on top. You find them because you search for them. You diligently dig for them. Anybody in the earth that is going to find this outpouring, they're not going to stumble over it. It's going to have to be the passion of their heart to the extent, to the place where they want it more than they want their next breath of air. More than they want it. I've heard stories and different things, and some may be parables, some may be truth. Sometimes you've all heard different stories about people that wanted something. Let's say this want was for more of him and an outpouring. And a guy says to the master, I want what you've got. And the story goes, he takes and strong arms him, or has somebody strong arm him, and he dips, puts his face under the water, his head under the water, until he almost dies. And when he comes up, he's gasping for life, he's gasping for air, and he says to him, when you want what you're asking for more than the air that gives you life, you'll get it. We want his outpouring more than anything else. We say that with our minds, we say that with our words, but I'm telling you that God is progressing us, all of us, that hear his voice, and our heart tug is hearing him. There's something that says, whatever I have to lay down in this life to get to that place, I want it. Will we have this? Yes, absolutely. Well, how many of us are going? I don't know, but as the head elder, as the one that has his voice and is speaking to you most of the time, I'm telling you, this is what I live for. And I believe this is what many of you live for. We must contemplate a place where change is always the inevitable. In other words, I don't want this service to look like last Sunday. And I don't want next Sunday to look like this service. Why? Because he's wanting to change us from glory to glory. And one of the ways that he does that is he puts inside of us an impenetrable and indubitable desire that something on the inside that God says, I want you more. Sometimes it's hidden. It feels like it's hidden underneath a lot of tests and trials and tribulations. But when the Holy Spirit gets an opportunity to dip you or to open up that little window, he can show you where your heart's at. Now, I can tell you this. You should be, and I should be, far more desiring, far more reaching to say, God, whatever it takes today than I was 5 years ago. If not, then we've grown lukewarm. If not, we're only a church meeting together. Or we're only just a body meeting together. We're not a church. There's something inside of us that is crying out, change, change, change. Well, how does that change come about? It comes about by an engagement of getting to know him more than anything else in the world. We bark about revival, and it is our epitaph. It is what Christ has placed inside of us. He said, do this for me. Call it a restoration, call it a renewal, but he wants something in the earth that resembles him. And he wants people to come to the image of who he is, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He wants homes changed. He wants dads to become dads, moms to become moms. He wants those who have found it acceptable to follow alternative lifestyles to say, what I was trying to get satisfied in this, now I found out that Jesus Christ is really the answer that I wanted. And many of them have seen just a small image, but you do not, listen, if Jesus ever comes and sits down in your house, truly sits down in your house, you are forever changed. Those who only can know him and go out, they've never known him. You never know him if you just know him and it temporarily changes you for a month, or for a few weeks, or for a short season of your life. Once you go and sit down, or he sits down in your house and changes you forever, you are forever changed. And what I'm calling to memory this morning is this. We desire him more than anything else. And we desire a complete takeover. There'll always be room for family. There'll always be room for social. But listen, I know what you want because I believe I have the same heart. We want God to take over our services to the full extent. But the services are not it. That's not the core. That's only our meeting place. And listen, by the way, if you didn't know it, there's a devil out there telling you, and he is a devil, that services, meeting together, are not important. He's a demon. His name is Lucifer. And he's a mocker. And he will tell you it's not important. If it's not important, then what are you here for? You should be pregnant. The reason why we receive, and listen, first of all, I'll preface this by saying, and I'm prophesying this morning, I had no intention on this, you will never be away from, too far from your fight. Where does your fight come from? The station in which you live. It's either the fight as a father, or it could be a multiple things, or as a mother, or as a businessman, or a father and a businessman, your home, your marriage, your body. All those things will continue to, as you go forward, to try to coexist to keep you from going into that room where you say, look, I just saw Jesus. I felt him. When he sticks his hand in the door, the reason why he doesn't come in is because he wants to know if he gives you a little bit of himself and steps back, will you come after him? Will you say, how can I have more? How can I get more of this? I'll search out my rest of my life to find him. Well, inevitably, the enemy will make it his business to try to keep you from finding that place of ultimate intimacy where you grow into his image. So there'll always be that war circumventing around where you live and what you're doing and trying to go forward in God. And yet there's a place where you can find in Him where dominion reigns. It really does. Where the war can get quiet, although you know it's out there. But listen, let me talk just for a moment about church services. Do you know that Paul said that when we come together, that we are supposed to be coming in? This is not a time where, for you that are born again and spirit-filled, it's not for you necessarily a time for you to come and receive per se. You should receive, but you should come fat, pregnant with all the, with a, have a psalm, have a wisdom, have an interpretation, have something that is inside of you that has been bawling over and musing over, and it's been there. It didn't happen in the car coming to church. And listen, by the way, aren't you glad we can just talk grassroots? That you don't go out of here saying, I wonder what he was talking about. Atmosphere is everything. Atmosphere in him here begins Saturday night. It begins Saturday. It begins Sunday morning. And I will continue to say, none of you will ever get up and angels will be playing violins, harps. You'll still have to be changing diapers. You'll still be having somebody, did you get my shorts out of the laundry? Why can't you do that sometimes? I don't have any clean underwear. That wasn't our conversation this morning. On the way to church, and I appreciate so many of you come, many of you come from 30 minutes, 45 minutes, some an hour away. It's amazing how far God put us out here to say have an outpouring. I've argued with God so many times before, why didn't you put me in a metropolitan area? He said, I've got you right where I want you. Amen. I want them to come to me. Amen. Not me, him. So you'll always have those devils that try to get in the car with you. And the fights that start. And the misunderstandings. And all of that, none of that goes. But listen, whatever you can do. You may be living in a home with a sinner. You may be living in a home with somebody that's not regenerated, that's not filled with the Holy Ghost. But whatever you can do to stay in the Spirit, whatever you can do, because you're supposed to be coming in here, listen, in a place against all hell, ready to do service. Amen. Ready to be fat and pregnant with something that is worship, and you may not ever get this opportunity, but something inside of you brings in the presence of God because you brought it in, because against all of hell, you were living out of the Spirit and not out of the flesh. Thank you for that one. Amen. That was so good. I appreciate it. It was very good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Jesus, when he spoke to the woman at the well, this is the greatest, one of the greatest passages that we ever have on intimacy in the New Testament and private worship. When he said this, he said, woman, I'll tell you the truth. The hour is coming and now is that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then he goes on, the next verse, he says, the true worshipers must, he put the word must, they must, in other words, it has to happen this way. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. The beautiful thing is this, the spirit is not something that you feel. The big teachers that used to write the books and say, well, when you get into a place of really into the spirit, you've actually evolved past your flesh. Now, there is a truth in this. You get past your flesh, you drop all mental ascension, and then you're in the spirit. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a DNA change. He was talking about forever mankind to this point in time has not had the wherewithal or the capacity of spirit. Now the Father is placing, impregnating in the earth a new DNA. And anyone that will receive it, anyone that will be born of God, will receive the Spirit like unto the fathers. They will then have the capacity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why is this important? It is vitally important because you who choose intimacy prior to church, on the way to church, listening. Can I say some? I'll tell you what, I know this is going to come out legalistic. No, I'm hoping it doesn't. I'm just going to give you suggestions. Don't have the TV blaring on Sunday morning. But you may live with somebody that does, and you can't control that. Walk around while that's going. Live in a little world inside yourself. Because you're preparing to go and offer a sacrifice before the Lord. Let worship music, because angels will come and get in that. Let worship music entreat you all the way to church. If you've got a 30 or 40 minute ride, while the kids are fighting and while you're saying, you know what, I'm going to crawl back there and get one of you if you don't quit. Oh, para Christe, I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you. Oh, honey, I'm sorry for what I said this morning to you because I want to get cleansed. You know what's so important? You get cleansed and get under the blood. That you come in here prepared. That you come in here fat and get sassy and say, I've got something to give. What is it? Do I get the mic? Maybe or maybe not, but who cares? Because what will emanate from you is a pregnancy, something that you have been in presence. And the way you understand this is this. Prior to this, on Saturday or Friday or whenever, you're spending a time with the Lord. Jesus said in that same chapter, he said this. He said, the people that drink out of this water, they will thirst again. But the water that I give him, and he wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost right then. He talked about the Holy Ghost. He said later in chapter 7 of John, he said, out of your bellies will flow rivers. He talked about the Holy Ghost. But he talked about the well being the place of salvation, that innate person that you become when you're born again. He said, the people that drink out of this well, this physical well of Jacob, they'll thirst again. But the well of the water that I give him will be in him a well springing up into, and this is a beautiful art, beautiful. It said, everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now we have a horrible misconception that everlasting life starts with the day you die. That's not right. Everlasting life starts the day you were born again. In fact, every person that was ever conceived, when an egg and a sperm cell came together, that was they're going to live forever someplace. They're going to live forever. And whether they were aborted or miscarried or whatever, they're going to live forever. The amazing part about those who do go early, they're all there. And we've got one that's there. We're going to meet one day, boy or girl, I'm not sure. But the amazing part is everybody lives someplace forever. In eternal judgment or in the bliss of His presence. But here's the amazing part. Do you know what people think? Because they spend very little time with Him. They think that once you get to heaven, once you croak, you're not croaking. You're not going to croak. As a believer, you're just going to lay off. You're just going to be walking along one day, per se, and this body is just going to fall off of you. But you know what the misconception is? And there's no place in the Word of God that defines it this way. In fact, it's just the opposite. They think that you step over a threshold and you become an absolutely different person. The only thing that happens to you is that you enter in for a season into a spiritual realm. Now, you don't even get your glorified body then. We can show you out of 1 Corinthians 15, and we've done that whole teaching on where does the glorified body come from. And that is a tremendous teaching. And the Holy Spirit showed us that years ago. But did you know that whatever you were, that's what you are there. Your spirit there, in other words, you'll look just like yourself, although a little bit more handsome, a little bit more beautiful. But if you were a worshiper 5 minutes ago, or a non-worshiper, though you knew him, the moment you leave off in this body, you don't just walk into an exuberance of a newness of who you were not and now who you are. You will then be identified in the full presence of God. In other words, there will be nothing in your body. There will be nothing there as a body. Now see, this body can still sin. It can if I let it. I am not going to let it. But it could if I let it. But I have control over it through Jesus Christ, through the new nature. And if something happens and I find myself slip in some way, I say something or I treat somebody wrong, I just go and get under the blood, keep going forward. But that's because I live in a flesh body. When this body drops off, mortality is going to become immortality. And I'm going to be there in His presence. When that happens, I will have entered into the next phase of everlasting life. But everlasting life is right now. It is springing up right now. And what He gave us the clue was, the way that you dip from that well, when the next few verses, everlasting life is in you. In other words, don't wait to get to heaven. See, people think, well, I get to heaven, oh, I'm just going to be this tremendous worshiper. And you will. Why? Because everything will be that was abated, everything that was abating you, everything, all of the lack of desire to worship. You know, when a person is not a private worshiper, I don't condemn them. They've just never been kissed. They've never been kissed with his mouth. And that comes out of the Song of Solomon. You can love the word. I know people that love the word and are not worshipers. I know people that pray in tongues, but have not yet advanced. They'll tell you they're not yet advanced. Listen, the more that you go into that place where everlasting life begins to be pulled out of you through the next thing that Jesus taught was you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the good part, the beautiful part is this, you've already got the equipment, the utilities on the inside of you to do that. Now, why is that important? Because sometimes it will feel like that God doesn't hear what you're doing. He's not there. It will feel, Candy coined it this morning, it feels like cracker juice. It feels like everything's being shut down. Are you in spirit then? Yes. Why? Because your platform, your foundation, you've been born of God with a spirit that now, even against emotion, what is it when we don't feel God? That's emotion. That's emotion. But emotion does not dictate his presence. It does not dictate whether or not he's hearing that worship. Now, people will have the mystique or the mistake, and they think, well, when I cross over the line into eternity, I'm going to be different. You know you are to some extent, because then you're going to see him face to face. But do you know what? If you weren't a worshiper before, it's going to take you a little while. You still are who you are. You're going to have to develop. Your memory, your cognizant, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Genesis. It says that God breathed the breath of life. Now, God does not breathe. He's not dependent on something he created. He does not breathe oxygen. God created oxygen, so God doesn't sit there with his nostrils breathing. What it was talking about, he breathed the life of who he is into Adam. When he breathed his spirit, that breath was spirit. And when he breathed into Adam, he breathed into Adam. And when he did, the Bible says that he became, the spirit went into Adam. And Adam first was a spirit. In other words, that spirit went in and he became a living soul. In other words, the soul of man, the cognizant awareness, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, what you feel, how you articulate things, how you figure something out, how you communicate, how Adam named all of the animals. That is a soul. That's a rational soul. Yeah. But that came out of the spirit man. So what's going to happen? When you die or when you leave this planet, the gray matter doesn't go with you. But people have said, will I recognize so-and-so? Will I remember this? You have a spiritual brain. You have a spiritual brain. In that spiritual brain, you have the mind of Christ. In other words, that's that born-again mind that thinks like Him. But your spiritual brain is inside. It knows everything that you do. The only problem is most people don't live out of the spirit. They live out of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15 says the first Adam was made a living soul. In other words, he touched everything by what he could see and feel. The last Adam, how many of you know that's Jesus? He became a quickening spirit. In other words, where he derives his life is out of the life of the Father. And guess what? As Homer preached last week, he is our prototype. He's our prototype. So everything that we do in this life, it's a training process. It is a training process. But as you walk and as you live and as you breathe, you're going to have to continually try, and He will help you, to stay in touch with that inner self, to that place, that spirit man. In other words, if you die right now and you appear in heaven, you're not going to be the most, if you weren't a worshiper, you're not going to be the most exuberant worshiper. Or you're not going to be the most mature, let's say matured over worship. Everlasting life, everlasting development of worship, everlasting going into Him starts now. And it doesn't start in this service. It starts in your homes. It starts in your cars. It starts in your awareness of, I'm walking into this room today, Father, or I'm walking into this store and I'm having a chat and chatter and I'm playing with my kids and I'm being daddy or grandpa and I'm doing all the other stuff. And that usually takes us completely out of the spirit. You can live in both. You can tune in and say, what is it in this room today? What is it in this store today? What is it in my life this morning that I'm supposed to be doing besides the natural part? And you stay in that place. Jesus said you touch that place. You pull that water out of that well through worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That goes back to a private place of intimacy that you must, if those of you that desire this, you must spend private time in worship with God. How does that unfold? Some of the best examples of that unfold in Revelation 3 and Revelation 4. Those creatures and the 24 elders. Those creatures, if you go back to Ezekiel, they've always existed. They're the same creatures Ezekiel describes them as of cherubims. They've got faces of eagles, faces of lions, faces of men, and they're there worshiping. And you know what they're saying? They're saying simple words, because the words are only mediums of exchange of what comes out of the heart. They're saying glory and honor, riches, wisdom. Basically, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the 24 elders, they're saying, whenever, I love the way Matt was talking about that day, he goes, I can't try to remember at the moment, but he said, basically, we spark each other. We give something of encouragement. You saw it in the picture of heaven, but we ourselves, when we're seeing the residual effect of something inside of us, it seems to have an effect on another worshiper. And that's what happens in heaven. But a perfect picture of intimacy is those in heaven. That's the picture. Listen, it must be developed. It must be developed. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? Do you mean to say when I get to church, if I haven't even thought of God this morning, I can't worship? My God, please. Please, don't misconstrue. I'm talking to leaders, and I'm talking to people that want to say, where's the next 10 years for the Family Prayer Center? I want to lose identity. I want to lose any mystique of what we've once been, although it's been precious, and go to a place where people say, look, when you get to the parking lot, you feel something. And when you come in here, please, to start with, I understand, and I do the same, because we haven't seen each other all week, and some of us have been through hell. And when you, you know, when you've been through hell and you see a happy face, you say, wow, there's heaven. I want to squeeze heaven because hell's been around me. And you run over and you squeeze them and you'll have a chit chat, and that's perfect. But listen, let me continue to encourage you. We have 15 or 20 minutes where worship music has started before. When you come in here, don't get in long conversations. If you see somebody needs to be ministered to, if they're in a desperate strait, pray for them right then. But get ready to let the Holy Spirit use you. And maybe you say, well, he's using me in the... No, he's not necessarily using you and talking about what the score was last night. I want to take us back to a place where when we come in here, the atmosphere is already, for the people that are coming in, they're already saying, my God, what is in this place? There's something I don't feel someplace else. And I'm not trying to put a standard. I'm saying the essence of the virtue of the glory of God resides in such a place that when we come in here, that people feel the presence of God in the parking lot. And they walk into some kind of atmosphere where they're saying, God is in. Where does that begin? It begins Saturday night. It begins Sunday morning. It begins, well, you don't know what we went through. I promise you, by the buckets, those things are going to come at times. Now, you will have pristine, I love pristine days where everything just domino effect. Everybody's just right where they need to be. Everything's just going good. No bad thoughts, no bad images, no emotions from the past, and the glory of God. Listen, that's His image for you in dominion. That's where He wants you to be all the time. But guess what? It is an absolute privilege. I don't know if you see it this way or not. It's an absolute privilege when hell tries to stop you. Why? Because it says to you this, there's something beyond where you're at that I don't want you to get to. And if you will forge further and faster and say, Lord, whatever I need to do, well, what's the bottom line, Pastor? I encourage you. I know you're getting this, but in case there's a little devil sitting on your shoulder saying, what is he talking about? Private intimacy, private worship. You can't get it any other way except deliberate, on time, spending time with Him. Drive under a shade tree. Drive down the road. Find a place in your house. Go out in the backyard. Lay down in the grass. Find a place where you and Jesus get so full of each other. Are you getting it? Because when you do, you're going to find a place in Him that you've never experienced before. And it can only be done by practice, 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 and what? More practice. Hallelujah. Your priest. We sang a song about He's our priest. Your priest. We got to show the earth what He looks like. I'm not sure that we know exactly what He looks like yet. What does it look like? What does it look like to have no fear? What does it look like to have complete, total God dominance and confidence in our life? What does it look like to know that He is with you, even despite faults that are still emerging in Him to be perfected? But what does no fear look like? What does that place look like? It looks like revival. It really does. And every one of us are invited to come in. Here's the beautiful part. It's not one man's revival. And I love this. No one, I'm sure of this, and I promise you this, if I've ever seen anything from His image and in that place, I love this part because this makes Him equality. And that's part of who He is, equality. No matter who you are, your station in life, or no matter who is in agreement or non-agreement with you, you can have this. It does not need the supplication or the supplementation of somebody supporting you. That is a plus. But if you choose to say, I'll go after Him because there's something in him that the world needs, and there's something that I need. And God, I want you to show me this. Can I go further than I've ever been? Yes. What is one of the keys? Private places of intimacy, fellowship. How does that look? What does that look like? What does an hour tomorrow look like for you? What does 30 minutes look like for you this week? 45 minutes of you sitting down and going to a place where you're absolutely concentrating on him. And somebody asked me the question the other day. In fact, Candy and I were having a discussion. This is vitally important because this gets down to the, what do you do with your mind? Well, first of all, the first thing to recognize is your mind is not your spirit. Most people worship God with their minds, and they don't understand. But you do have to employ, anytime I speak a word, my mind has said it. So my mind is active. But listen, because Jesus said this, there is a race of people that's coming that are going to be born with a capacity. What capacity? Spirit and in truth. The truth is this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to reveal to you who the Father is. I'm going to show you who you're actually worshiping, so that when you sit down to worship him, the image of his reality of everything he was in type and shadow in the old, and everything he is in truth, so that the reality of truth, when I worship him, I can truly appreciate him as the existence of who he is. See, if I believe real scary things about him, that my father may hurt me, or that in his judgment he's really after me to destroy me physically or emotionally or something, if somebody has sown that inside of me that says God is working some work against you that you don't quite understand, you're gonna have a horrible life, but God's ultimately gonna teach you. As I worship him, that is going to ultimately abate, or it's gonna hold back the image of how much I can really lean on him and trust him. But Jesus came to give us truth, which is sound doctrine. And he's taught us your Father's good. He loves you. He wants to heal you. He'll do everything he possibly can to bring you forward. So when I sit down in that, now, what do I do with my mind? Because my mind is going to be, to start with, very restless at times. If I choose this to know, first of all, here's my contemplation. If I choose to worship you and my mind goes here and there, as it often will, in other words, I will say I love you, and have you ever heard, talk to somebody and they're talking to you, or you're talking to them, and you know by the pupils of their eyes, what they're looking, you can tell by that they're really, you know, because, you know, I've tried it once or twice, I think, but don't do it because it's not nice. It's really not. You know, just talking to them, and then, you know, they looking at you, and you just say, yeah, and Superman flew into my bedroom last night, too. Yeah. Wow, that's, because people, we all know how to say yes and woo, wow, that's amazing. At the right times, we can be enough engaged that we just know how to respond. And then when you get in the car and you say, it's just like this, and you say, you tell somebody, my God, that was a great service. What did the pastor preach on? They can't tell you the next day. They can't even tell you sometimes before they, well, it was good. I don't want it to be good. I want it to impact your life. I want it to impact you. So if you have one of those conversations with somebody in the future, test it out. And if they catch you, then say, I was just kidding. See, just talking to them. Yeah. Do you like that new dress that Minnie Mouse is wearing lately? It's just so cool. And they'll say, oh, I know he is good. He is wonderful. Yes, hallelujah. They are. It's a facade. They don't, because most people live in, because they're fighting such wars, they live in a facade. They don't even know. And that's about where we're at when we go to God. I love you. I love you. And he's saying, he could have said something to us and we didn't even catch it. Because there's this facade. Our minds are out here. But listen, David said this, number of scriptures. Isaiah says this. It's through this, through the one mechanism that we know, praying in tongues, that he talks about quieting the soul And David says, I have calmed and quieted this, I've calmed and quieted my soul. My soul is as a weaned child. There's teachings that we've done about the prince on the ground and the servant on the horse. Listen, your soul came out of your spirit when breath was breathed. In other words, it basically, in a split second, it evolved. The higher order of who you are is not your soul, it's your spirit. Your spirit takes in everything. It knows everything. It knows who you're married to. It knows what you've been saying. It knows, the spirit gets very little time to talk. It loves to pray in tongues because it's like, whoo, this is the only time I ever get to talk. Because most people live in such a mental world, they never allow me to get. David says, I'll get calm, and I'll commune with my own self on my bed. There's numerous, but I say that to say this. Your spirit really is the parent. Your soul is the child. But 99% of us live our life letting the child rule the parent. We're not cognizant, we're not aware of when we walk in, what am I supposed to be doing here? Because we're always thinking about we're just like a bunch of mules. We're just on a path. This is where I go to work. This is where I go to church. This is the way this place I sit every Sunday. This is the people I usually say hi to. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I want every day of your life a new experience in me. And the only way it can be a new experience is that you've got to be aware of the inner man. You've got to be aware of what I'm saying to you. So back to the place of private worship. Your child, which is your soul, is usually going to sit down with you to start with. It'll want to fix the day. It'll want to pay the bills. It'll want to apologize to people. A lot of times we'll just start in with God, and God will get us past all that junk. But listen, here's the one, tenacity. Jesus said this. He gave us a clue. He said, in your hufamine, in your patience, you will possess your soul. Do you know that if you keep doing it over, I love you, if it's 1,000 times, and you have to, I got to go to work, man. I still don't feel like me and God have connected. But pastor says, I've got the spirit to do it, so God's appreciated this. I spent 45 minutes, and I can't even remember a word I said to him, but I did fix a lot of problems. I know what to tell my wife about how to pay that bill, and I know I need to tell my kids, this, that, and the other. Five of those I love yous out of 500 may have just, you might not have connected with them. But listen, if you'll do the same thing tomorrow, if you'll continue to do the same thing, I can promise you this, your child, which is your soul, will get quiet. It will eventually bow its knee, and it will eventually come subservient to the spirit, and it will allow the spirit. Now, most people don't know what a quiet soul even looks like or sounds like. Do you know that you can walk around in full intelligence and your mind not be busy? Now, the mind is created to fix problems, and it's created to think, and it's created to be a catalyst by which you do everything. But living out of the spirit means the best way to equivocate or to evaluate living out of the spirit is a quiet soul. One that's just not real, real talkative. It wants to chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat. It wants to talk. And that's what it does when you sit down with God. If you will continue to worship God, and if you will choose to go into Him, even when you have problems with your soul, eventually your soul will get quiet. And what happens out of that, there comes an immersion, there comes an evolving of a spirit face-to-face encounters with your Father. Now, you're already in spirit, even when you don't feel like it. But how many of you know that feeling like something is a good icing on the cake? It blesses you. It actually heals your soul. It actually brings you into a place where you can hear and receive the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I just, to those who have ears to hear, they will hear. Praise God. Preparation is everything, really. When preparation meets opportunity. Any football team that said, we're not going to practice for the next 2 weeks, but we got a championship game coming up.
That's the opportunity, that championship game. They're going to go in there and they are going to bomb. They are going to bomb. But if you prepare and prepare and you prepare and you, if you say, well, I'm going to go to the service Sunday. Man, I prayed all week and we just watched, we were watching a Western right up to church time and or some other murder mystery or something. And we were listening to some kind of crazy junk coming to, you know, some talk show coming to service. How can it takes everybody's minds. It takes you about an hour to ever just kind of just relax in the presence of God. By that time, it's almost time to go home. What if you come fat, full of the Holy Spirit? What if you come into a place where I'm bringing something? And we don't need that many of you. We just need four or five of you to come fat every Sunday. We just need a bunch of people saying, look, wow, you mean my preparation starts Saturday night, Sunday morning? See, that was an asterisk. A little angel asterisk. Praise God. Might have been a message. Father, we just bless you this morning. We praise and give you all the glory. Thank you for who you are, what you are. Bless them. Thank you. You love us so much. And I love you, Jesus. I commit these words to you in them. Let us be encouraged. Let us go forth. Let us feel the power of your glory, but also know that even in times when we do not, we are there in that place always with you. I love you, Father, and I commit these things into you by your grace and by your glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for all of you that were here Sunday and supported everything that everybody was doing, all the eldership, all the leadership. This is not a one-man show. Everybody bringing their gifts and their callings. We're going to give you an opportunity to give this morning. We're going to ask you to just calmly pray and just ask the Lord what he'd have you to give this morning. I appreciate your giving all the time. And Candy and I will be at Pastor Jim Martin's church next Sunday. And we appreciate your prayers and support. Gary Carpenter is coming in May, and that's right around the corner. The announcement's on the board back there. The Lord has provided everything that we needed, basically most of everything that we needed, the flight and the hotel in Dayton. And this is not necessarily something that I'm promised to get anything out of, so I don't try to take these things. If it's there, then we'll use our travel to out of the funds. But basically, we need everything there to pay expenses with the revolving expenses in the church right now. So if I say that to say this, if the Lord speaks to any of your hearts to help us to go to Dayton, this is a time where we get a chance to sit down with Pastor Dave and Gary and Jim and say, what is God saying to you? What new things do you hear from the Lord? And what old things do you hear from the Lord to say, you know, how can we continue to put into people's lives and build people's lives in a better position with God? So besides for what you're giving this morning, if you hear anything concerning that, I believe it'd be a good opportunity for you to give. I'm going to pray and you listen, and then we'll give. And how many of you had a good time this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your voice once again. Immokalee is saved. We love the aspirations, or just, it's just a beautiful concept to think about all of the atmosphere, that how you're going to change in due season so many different things in a hellacious world. But I guess the greatest thing, Father, that we are excited about is the image of Christ being formed in us, so that we will not have gone into heaven 5 minutes, that atmosphere will be so, we'll be so used to that. Although it'll be pristine, it'll be something we've never experienced. But Lord, to be in your absolute presence and worship you, I choose, and I'm asking, Lord, that you will help these to choose to become worshipers before we ever get there. That everlasting life that is in us now will spring up in worship to a place of spiritual maturity so that there will be so little left to do when we're actually in your presence in that maturing process. We commit these unto you. We pray that you'll bless and speak to their hearts as they're giving this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can stand this morning.